This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, as we take opportunity to look out and around us, we find ourselves, well, surrounded by a lot of intense and stressful issues, don't we? It's caused a lot of people to really kind of express the gamut and variety of emotions, from sadness on one end to perhaps even madness and anger on the other. And in some cases, it's even escalated today in our day and age with a lot of conflict into violence and disturbing conditions. I mean, a lot of, in some cases, even destruction and unfortunately, even death. I mean, whether you look at our families, where husbands and wives are perhaps going at it with one another over finances or career opportunities or decisions on the fact of scaling down because maybe one lost a job, or dealing with their children and particular ones that they may be hanging out with, or places that they want to go that parents have disagreements about, or that, for that matter, the children and conflicts they may have with their teachers in school over grades or the way the teacher's teaching the curriculum, to, for that matter, the disingenuous business transactions from some of these white-collared criminals that we now understand they were, who fleeced basically thousands, if not tens of thousands of people, of their life savings, who entrusted them to manage their funds, to just the old-fashioned armed robber, rapist, and thug walking on the streets. Today we have what appears to be trends, my friends, trends that indicate we are becoming morally bankrupt. And I ask a question. Why? Why do you think it is that it appears our society today, especially here in the West, is becoming morally bankrupt? Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to try to perhaps oversimplify the many multiple causes that create the conditions that we find ourselves reacting to, and of which are indeed oftentimes reasonable and understandable that certain people react the way they do, because they're devastating in the lives of some folks. I mean, losing one's job, losing a loved one, having someone betray you, whether it's a divorce, these are hard issues, hard things for people to tolerate and to deal with, but yet they do, and it's things that we have to in the course of life. So don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to oversimplify the causes of the problems that we as human beings face in our world today, but there is, and it would be remiss of me not to share with you this one underlying element, this one fundamental item that contributes an awful lot to the what appears to be moral bankrupt trends we're beginning to see. And I want to talk a little bit about this particular item that all of us are beginning to participate in, and more of us are actual participants in it than even realize, because it's so subtle that it kind of creeps up on you without you even knowing it. Oh yeah, it is subtle. And it is oftentimes what you could say a snake-biting experience to realize that you are indeed a participant in it. I want to talk about this one underlining element, but before I do, let me interrupt myself, as we often do here on the telecast, to present to you our free offers for today's program. Both of these offers, and it gives me great pleasure to mention, they're free. All you've got to do is dial that number that is displayed there, 888-578-8791. Ask the operator for these two offers that we are presenting today on today's program. The first one is titled The Biblical Origins of the British Commonwealth and the United States. Now, this is a series of 12-hour lectures. A book comes with it, so don't forget, get the book, because in the book there are maps and also scriptures that are listed segment by segment, presentation by presentation, that will lay out for you so you can follow along as you're listening. Look the scriptures up, stop your disc player if need be, and proceed to maybe, you know, investigate the scriptures, get a concordance, whatever it may be, but take your time going through it. But what this 12-hour series will do is help you to connect up the historical connection, the historical roots of the modern-day societies of the West, primarily the United States and Great Britain, with its ancient origins of, believe it or not, the nation of Israel. You've got to get this 12-hour lecture series. In addition to that, we're also offering your free subscription, and it is a subscription, a quarterly. It's a newspaper, the official newspaper of the Church of God International, which is just jam-packed full of all kinds of articles, a variety of articles. They cover doctrinal subjects such as the millennial controversy, here in this issue, the Feast of Trumpets, and beyond. There's another article here, a doctrinal article, that is titled The Millennium and What Will It Be Like, along with Christian living articles like Learn Mercy and Not Sacrifice, Getting to Know Your Father, and in combination with a lot of church news, getting you familiar with some of the people that are behind the support of this particular telecast, The Armor of God, and also who are part and parcel to a way of life that they have found actually illustrated in your Bible and are now beneficiaries of this way of life. You got to get these two free offers. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Ask the operator, again, for both of these, the biblical origins of the British Commonwealth and the United States of America, and your quarterly subscription to the International News, the official newspaper of the Church of God International, called the International News. And don't forget that website there at www.cgi.org. Now, let's get back to this program about these issues that really cause so many of us disturbance, sometimes heartache, sadness, sometimes anger and madness, too. And again, let me reiterate, I'm not trying to oversimplify the many causes that create oftentimes these emotions in us. But there is, my friends, one underlining cause that is a major contributor to the trends that we're beginning now to see, illustrative of this moral bankruptcy that what appears to be our Western societies are becoming part and parcel to. And there's a model, by the way. There's a model in your Bible that actually lays out and illustrates for us this very item that, if indeed is abandoned, what the results are. Oh yeah, that's right. It's actually illustrated by the historical record of the nation of Israel. That's right. Because they did the same thing. They abandoned this item, this element, and consequently received the results of it. And as a matter of fact, you don't even have to abandon it totally. All you've got to do is marginalize it. Just begin to mitigate it in your life or in the broad scheme of things in the culture. And guess what? The results will be the same as what happened to the nation of Israel. Oh yes, my friends, history, you know it as well as I do, history is a stunning teacher. What's that old adage that those who ignore the lessons of history are destined to repeat it? And let me add, with the same results. Because guess what? What's the definition of insanity? You know, you keep repeating the same cycles, the same patterns, don't you? But expect different results. Well, guess what? You don't get different results if you don't change the cycles and the patterns. And unfortunately, if we don't, as a nation of people here in North America and frankly in other parts of the West, be it Australia, New Zealand, and in areas of Europe and so on, change our ways, we are going to be the recipients of the same results that this model, this nation Israel, illustrates for us in the historical record of our Bibles. Now, what is this element? What am I talking about? Well, the very element I'm talking about is the very abandonment of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we are, in addition, abandoning the values and the standards of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And these, my friends, are detrimental to the health of our nation And again, I hearken back here to this particular model, the fact of Israel and what happened to it will be the same result that will happen to us. Because guess what? Did we not adopt the very God of Israel? Is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jesus the Christ, the very standards, the very foundation of our culture and our society? Of course it is. You know that as well as I do. The history is clear for so many of us. Notice over here, because with that being said, with that connection in mind, just even forget about the fact of whether or not you even agree or believe that there are historical connections with the ancient nation of Israel. The fact of it is that if indeed the God of Israel is the God of the United States, is the same God of Canada and Australia and New Zealand and other parts of the West, if those Christian nations share the same God, then my friends, it would do us well to find out what this God expects of us as a nation of people. Notice over here, Leviticus chapter 18. I want to read you something on what God said to this nation of Israel. And granted, this is the ancient original nation of Israel. Nevertheless, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can look that up in the book of Hebrews there, I think about chapter 13 or so. But before we go ahead and even turn there, I won't turn there. Actually, I'm here in chapter 18 of the book of Leviticus. I want to read this to illustrate to you God's assertiveness, His affirmation that He is God. Look at this now. The Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall you not do." God did not want the people of Israel to be doing the same thing as the Egyptians. He further goes ahead and he adds the Canaanites. And he says here, "Where I bring you, shall you not do." Talking about the Canaanites. "Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." Did you hear that? He is the Lord our God. Over here, look at this. In chapter 19, we read, and in this particular case, but before we do that, let's go to verse 24. "Defile not yourselves in any of these things." Any what things? The things that he himself talked about in chapter 18. What are they? Nakedness of your sister, nakedness of your son, nakedness of your father's wife's daughter. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your father's sister. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister. What's all that about? That's about this kind of relationships you should not have with family members of your family. These are things God says we should not do. He goes on and he talks about burning your children. He talks about you shall not lie with mankind as with womankind, homosexuality. He talks about neither shall you lie with beasts in verse 23. And notice in verse 24, he says, "Defile not you yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it. And the land itself vomits out her inhabitants." Why? Because of all these vile things that he listed and enumerated in the previous verses. He says here, "You shall therefore keep my statutes, my judgments. You shall not commit," he says, "any of these," and look what he calls them, "abominations." He calls them abominations. "Neither any of your own nations, nor any stranger that even sojourns," even Gentiles, non-Israelite people living in your nation, "should not do these things," he says. I don't want them to do these things. And if they do, get rid of them. That's what he's basically saying. They don't belong in the nation. Boy, I'll tell you what, he was affirmative in these things. Verse 10, he says here, "You shall not glean your vineyards, neither shall you," in verse 27, "all these abominations," that's right, "all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled." Verse 28 now, Leviticus 18, "that the land spew you out also when you defile it, as it spews out nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even that soul that commits them shall be cut off from among the people. Therefore shall you keep my ordinances, that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. He proceeds now in chapter 19. Look at this. And in verse 1, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel. Say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Did you notice that? Look at this now. You shall fear every man, his mother and father. Keep my Sabbaths, he says. I am the Lord your God. Turn you not unto idols, nor make yourselves your gods. I am the Lord your God. Boy, is he assertive in all of these things. He is very, very affirmative, expecting action on behalf of these people that he, God, had given so much to. Notice verse 37. Therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. And what are those? Read in chapter 19. Read in chapter 20. Look at here in chapter 20, dropping down here to verse 22. Look at this. You shall therefore keep all my statutes, all my judgments, and do them, that the land where I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. Do these things so the land doesn't spew you out, is basically what he's saying. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nations which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. You want to know how and what you need to do in order for God to abhor you? Read chapter 18, 19, 20. 21, read these chapters, my friends, and you will find out what God doesn't like and find out how to avoid his abhorrence. Because essentially he's saying those people who partook in these things, who participated in these things, he abhorred. He says here, but I have, verse 24, said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that flows with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. You shall therefore put differences between clean beasts, unclean, between unclean fowl and clean. You shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And sadly, my friends, we are doing some of these things. We eat all kinds of things that God says we should not be eating. And sadly, we suffer diseases and sicknesses from it. We suffer from all kinds of maladies and physical malaise that, well, unfortunately, we bring on ourselves oftentimes because of inadequate diets or eating the wrong kinds of foods. You may say, well, Bill, what kind of foods does God approve? Well, look it up. Leviticus chapter 11. Read it. He even gives you some certain methods by which you can determine animals, whether or not they're edible or not, be it fish, fowl, and or air-breathing, land-walking beasts. Deuteronomy 14 has a reiteration in many of these very same things. But I know many of you may say, well, yeah, but Bill, come on now. This is the Old Testament. And all these laws and statutes and judgments, I mean, that was old stuff, you see. That was for old Israel. Well, again, let me hearken back to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. What does it say there? It says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even though over here in chapter 22 of the book of Leviticus, where he kind of thumbnail sketches everything and encapsulates what his expectation is for his nation, Israel, and states here, therefore, he says, shall you keep my commandments and do them? I am the Lord. This is chapter 22, book of Leviticus, verse 31, now verse 32. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. Even though he says those kinds of things, people will say, yeah, but the law was done away with, you see. So these expectations are no longer on us. But I submit to you, not so, my friends. Notice what the Apostle John says back here in this epistle that he wrote, the first epistle, way back near the book of Revelation in the New Testament. This is New Testament documentation that you're going to have here in a moment. And let's see what this particular apostle, the one that Jesus claimed he loved so well, says about the law and how important it is. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 5, the first epistle of John. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loves him, that begat, loves him also, that is begotten of him. By this, by what? By this, by what you're about to hear, we know that we love the children of God. Here it is now. When we love God and, notice, keep His commandments. Now, the next verse is very pivotal. Notice, you want a definition for what the love of God is? Here it is. For this is the love of God. Here it is now. This is a biblical definition of what the very love of God is, that we keep His commandments. And John further states, His commandments are not grievous. There in verse 3. Now, in 2 John, the second epistle that he writes this in verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. So, here again, my friends, and it's very clear that the Apostle John, as does so the Apostle Paul, state that the law is very contemporary. There is value with the law. That's why Jesus stated in Matthew 5, verse 17, think not that I have come to do away with the law. No, rather, he says, Jesus, there in Matthew 5, 17, I've come to fulfill it. And he did. The law pointed to Christ. Christ was the personification of the law in action. It is what God expects His law to take on in terms of expression within the personality of a human being. Paul states that by virtue of the law, I think it over there in Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 3 or 4, he states that by the law we know what sin is. It's the ground zero. It's the reference point. It's the encapsulation of knowing what God does not want us to do. Because if we do, then we sin. Because John states in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, you know these scriptures, that transgression of law is sin. That's the biblical definition of what sin is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Look it up there, my friends. It states very clearly that the transgression of law is sin. And Paul further states that where there is no law, there is no sin. That's why I say that the law must be engaged today, because if there was no law, there'd be no sin. And if there is no sin, then what do you need a Savior for? The fact of it is, the point of it is, that the law of God is applicable today to 21st century Christians. As a matter of fact, the abandonment of God's law is an underpinning reason for the ills and the malfeasance and all of the difficulties that we see in our society today. We have become a far more tolerant society than what we should have compared to what God wanted us to. He gave those rules. He gave those laws and statutes and judgments for a reason. Unfortunately, we've compromised a lot of those reasons. And the simple matter is, as pointed out in Deuteronomy 28, and you can read it there, it's known as the Blessing and Cursings chapter. And it was, yes, given to ancient Israel. But again, it was given by the God of Israel. Are we not believers of the same God of ancient Israel? Yes, I think we are. We are a culture of that very God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and who claim Christ as the Savior of humankind. With that being said, my friends, if indeed we continue to insist on disobeying and abandoning God's laws, then we will experience the same results. Deuteronomy 28 illustrates these things. Blessings and cursings. If you do this, I'll do that. However, if you don't do this, you're going to bring on a lot of discomfort, a lot of distress, a lot of destruction, and even captivity, ultimately, to your nation. Oh yeah, as a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy 28, it even mentions how the stranger will rise up among you, and you will borrow, and he will lend, and as a result, we will become the tail, and the stranger, the foreigner, will become our head. Sound familiar? It is truly a very accurate characterization of the condition and relationship of the United States of America, the greatest debtor nation in the history the world has today, to many nations around the world. Fulfilled prophecy? Absolutely. We should be affirmative about recognizing things for what they truly are. Because the fact of it is, we can get and cuddle up to our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our amendments, and all the things that we feel are so sacred to our nation, as much as we want, my friends. But the fact of it is, if we don't get back to framing it in our Judean Christian concept, outlook, and understanding, our Constitution is so much secular ink and paper. The value of our nation, my friends, was the fact that we were a Christian nation in principle, in ethic, in standard, and in value. That's what underpinned. That's what was the cohesion. That's what allowed and afforded our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, the amendments we came up with to work so well. Even one of our forefathers stated, did he not? That the Constitution, our country, was built for a moral and religious people. What does that mean? Well, that means very simply, once we abandon that premise, once we abandon that underpinning, we are vulnerable to failure. And regardless of what our Constitution may say, regardless of what the Bill of Rights may say, the fact of it is, without Christ as our core, without the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as our protector and our hedger, we are cruising for disaster. Friends, we need to get back. We really do need to get back to the fundamentals of our understanding of what God expects from us. Time's run out on me. Dial now, 888-578-8791. Get these two free offers, The Biblical Origins of the British Commonwealth and the United States of America, and your quarterly free subscription to the International News, the Church of God International's official newspaper, to plug you in a variety of subjects, from doctrinal issues to Christian living issues. Dial that number right there on your screen as posed, 888-578-8791. And don't forget about that website where you can kind of catch up on additional Armor of God telecasts there that are all listed. I think, boy, there's a whole gamut of them, a wide variety of topics from a wide variety of speakers, as well as even sermons that cover a broad span of different subjects on different issues pertaining to prophecy, other doctrinal issues, and Christian living issues that I know you will find very interesting and understand, hopefully will be very helpful to you in your Christian walk. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.